is exceptional, a man of God, a true teacher of the word, quite good looking, and a little bit funny. I think you guys like him too. So if you're ready for the word this morning, why don't we join in welcoming Ben Patterson to come and bring the word of God today. I thought I better say something nice for once.
Ready for the new term. Parents are looking tired, haggard. Ready for the new term. That's just the way it goes. This morning, my sermon is entitled Through the Roof. I feel like it's been a long time since I've been up here. I've been working and away and things like that. But I still remember how to go. I am shaking as well, but that's just the cold. It is cold this morning. Righto, through the roof, here we go. I'm going to read from Mark chapter 2. It says, a few days later when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it, and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. Now some teachers of the law were sitting there, thinking to themselves, why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this is what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to this paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take up your mat and walk? So he said to the man, I tell you, get up, take up your mat and go home. He got up and took up his mat and walked out in full view of them. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we've never seen anything like this. This is a very famous story. That's why I'm calling my sermon Through the Roof. Because they literally go through the roof, yeah? And I've read it many times. I don't know if you've grew up in church, you may have read it many times, you've heard it many times, but I try to, when I read the Bible, I try to approach it as best as I can with fresh eyes. It can be difficult when you already know the ending, but I try to pretend when I'm reading the Bible that I haven't read it before and try and be curious and inquisitive. And so I read this story, and I'm thinking to myself, what's going on here? What's significant about this miracle? You see, the Gospel of Mark is the shortest of all the Gospels. And a lot of people think it was written first. But Mark isn't one for long narratives. He's not one for fluffy words and explaining things with big theatrical detail and all that. Mark is like the SAS. He gets in, he gets out, he just tells you the action. It's like a movie script. It's like some people actually think it was written as a play, as a pantomime, and it's meant to be acted out. Mark is like, this is the facts. This is the power of God. This is what happened. He doesn't include many parables like Luke and all those sorts of things. It's just the action. That's what Mark's about. So when Mark includes a miracle, it's an important miracle. We know Jesus did lots of miracles. The Gospel of John tells us that if all the miracles and all the things that Jesus did were documented at that time in the world, there wouldn't have been enough room in all the books in the world, yeah? to write them all down. So if Mark's got the short gospel and he includes this miracle, it's an important miracle. It's impactful. You know, the word immediately appears in this miracle. The word immediately appears all throughout Mark's gospel. He's like, immediately this happened, and then immediately this happened, and immediately this happened, and suddenly this happened, and he just wants to get in there and tell you what happened. So he includes this one. It's important. So I read it, and I started asking questions. Questions that came to my mind. And I've got three questions that jump out at me this morning. You might have more. This isn't an exhaustive list of questions. But these are three questions that came to my mind when I read this gospel. Number one, what had this man who was brought in, this paralytic man, what had he done to deserve forgiveness of sins? I mean, Jesus out of nowhere pronounces this man's sins forgiven. And I don't see him recite the sinner's prayer. I don't see him do it. But Jesus just, out of the blue, your sins are forgiven. It's like Oprah handing out cars and things like that. Your sins are forgiven and your sins are forgiven. And just, your sins are forgiven. Why did Jesus do that? Number two question that comes to my mind is, why did Jesus pronounce his sins forgiven when that is clearly not what the man asked for or what he was there for? It's like if I went to McDonald's and asked for a Big Mac and they gave me McFlurry, I'd be like, this is nice. I mean, I'm not against McFlurries, but I asked for a Big Mac. Yeah, like it's not what I asked for. It's just random that this man is obviously there for one thing and Jesus gives him another. And third question that comes to my mind is, why did the witnesses, all those people that were thronging Jesus, that's an old King James word, we need to bring it back and use it in everyday life. Why were they thronging him? Why were they crowding around him? All these people, why were the witnesses, why did they say they had never seen anything like this when they had already seen many miracles? I mean, they knew who John the Baptist was. He was performing miracles. They're all there for a reason, yeah? They've seen miracles. The story starts that Jesus comes back to Capernaum. Like, he's been there before. They've seen the miracles. Why? What is it about this miracle that they said, we've never seen anything like this? Yeah? I mean, Jesus, people rise from the dead when Jesus is around, but they've never seen anything like this. Why? What's so special about this one? Well, I'm glad you asked those questions. We're going to attack those this morning. I want to start with what had the paralytic done to deserve forgiveness of sins? You know, if you were building a doctrine, if you were building theology off this story, and somebody at work, you know, that you've been praying for, or that family member that you've been trying to lead to Jesus, if they came to you and they said, you know what, I just feel like I want to follow the God that you follow, and I want to follow Christ, I want to give my life to him, and this is the only part of the Bible that you knew, I mean, you would have to respond, well, if you want to be saved, I know exactly what you need to do. Find your four biggest friends, your four strongest friends, all right? People like me, just find, like people like Cain, just find the four strongest people you can. Go to Cyrus Persian Rugs, buy yourself some kind of mat. You've seen Aladdin, one of those flying ones would be best, but if not, you know, get them on discount. They're always got a sale on, don't they? Like Harvey Norman. There's a sale on every weekend at Harvey Norman. Anyway, this is not a plug. I'm not being paid. Get your rug. This Sunday, Pastor Rob's going to be speaking about, what's that, 10-ish? What's the time now? Oh, 10:27. Gosh. About 10:15, 10:30, get up on the roof of the powerhouse, get a power saw, whatever, cut a hole in the roof, get your mat, get your four friends, in the middle of the service, in the middle of Pastor Rob's preaching, right in the middle of the powerhouse, right down here in the front, lower yourself down. Pastor Rob will be moved by the Holy Spirit with the authority that Christ has given him, and as an oracle of the Lord will pronounce your sins forgiven and you will go to heaven. Yeah? That's the way it's done, yeah? That's what this guy did. And Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. That's the way it's done. Lucky for us, we don't build our doctrine just on one part of the Bible, yeah? That's how people get into error. That's how entire religions and denominations or whatever, or we're not going to debate things today, but we have an entire canon of scripture that we... I used to have a preacher friend who tells me, if you want to build a doctrine, you better show me four different scriptures from four different parts of the Bible if you're going to preach that and believe that, yeah? So we know that that's not the advice we're going to give our friends when they want to give their heart to Christ. Yeah, they want to become a disciple of Jesus. Pastor Robert does not want the building desecrated. We know that we are saved by faith through grace. True? We know that on this occasion, that this person doesn't make any kind of even confession of faith. We don't read that he actually promises to change his ways. We don't read that he says, sorry, Jesus, or confesses him as the Christ. We don't read any of that. Really, all we know is that he lies there. The Bible says Jesus sees the faith of his friends and pronounces his sins forgiven. Are we to take from that your friend's faith can get you saved, or your family's faith can get you saved? Maybe you're relying on the faith of your parents to get you into heaven. Hey, you can take that scripture and maybe you can run with it. I don't know. I want more assurance than that myself. Like I said, I don't build my doctrine on one little verse in the Bible. I take more than one verse to build a doctrine and a theology. But all I know is that this person, as far as we can tell, does nothing. And you know what? When you think about it, you really did nothing to deserve to be saved as well. We all did nothing. The Bible says it's through faith by grace. It's a gift of God that no man can boast. The answer is nothing. He did nothing. See, salvation isn't earned. Salvation isn't a reward for good behavior. Salvation is a gift. It's received. We take hold of salvation through faith. It's there for any person who would receive it. Jesus will make this declaration over any person who will receive it in faith. That's how salvation comes. It's a gift. And if you receive it by faith in him, by trust, by relying in him, it's yours. He did nothing, and you did nothing to deserve it, to earn it. He didn't save you because you promised that you were going to change your ways and never going to sin again. He didn't save you because of that. He didn't pronounce your sins forgiven because, you know, he thinks that you're better than those sinners that are out on the street. He pronounced your sins forgiven, and you just received it and trusted it and believed it, and it's yours. You know, there's that scripture that says, Lord, Lord, didn't we heal the sick in your name? Didn't we cast the demons out in your name? And what's the Lord going to say? And that day says, away from me, I never knew you. A lot of people are like that. But Lord, didn't I? It doesn't work with God. It's he has, yeah? He has. So if you think that you've done more than this paralytic to deserve salvation, I'd think again. We're all like him, just laying there helpless, and it's a free gift that we receive. A second question that comes to my mind is, what did Jesus pronounce? Why did Jesus pronounce his sins forgiven when that's clearly not what he asked for? This reminds me of the story of Gideon. You know what? Jesus can kind of be on his own page sometimes. Have you ever read the story of Gideon, when the angel of the Lord comes to visit Gideon and tells them that he's going to use him to deliver his people from the Midianites? And Gideon goes on this long, self-pitying, I'm the least, my family's the least, I can't do it, I'm not good enough, that kind of thing. This could be my favorite exchange in the Bible. The Bible says the angel of the Lord turns to Gideon and says, go in the strength you have. Like, he turns to him as if he wasn't even listening to Gideon's little pity party. You know what I mean? Like, off in his own world. It's like the angel of the Lord was, look at those birds. See, they're beautiful. Oh, geez, I make good creation. What are you saying? Just go in the strength you have. It's like, not even... I get kind of get that vibe from Jesus here. It's like this guy obviously wants to be healed, and Jesus is like, oh, your sins are forgiven. And just, you know, like, Jesus, like, that's not what he wants. You know, he's here for something different. Well, to understand why Jesus has done that, we need to put ourselves in the minds of a first century Jewish person or even anyone living in that time. See, Jesus does kind of explain to us why he does it. He says, I did this so that you would know, yeah, that I have the power on earth to forgive sins. Well, why is that important? Well, in first century thinking, when you see a beggar, when you see a paralyzed person, or you see someone with disease, this is a Greek thought, this is in Roman thought, this is in crypt in a Jewish thought. Someone who is paralytic, someone who's like that, they are like that because of sin. They're actually being punished by the gods. The Greeks believed this a lot, that there were illnesses and things that would come upon you because you didn't give the right offering or you weren't pleasing the gods. And this isn't just a one religion thought. This is crept through all thinking. You are like that because of sin. That's why you're paralyzed. And we know that even the disciples thought like this. Because in John chapter 9, there's a man who's blind from birth. And this isn't Pharisees asking Jesus. This isn't teachers of the law. This is the disciples in John chapter 9. They say to Jesus, Jesus, this man has been blind from birth. Is it because of his sin or his parents' sin? It wasn't a question of, is it because of sin? In their mind, is it because of his sin or his parents' sin? Yeah? So even the disciples thought like that. So they thought, everybody in this room that sees this paralyzed man laying on the floor before Jesus, everybody in the room is thinking the same thing. He is like that because either he has sinned or his parents have sinned, because God punishes, yeah, to the third and fourth generation. Is this making sense to you? Everybody in the room thinks that this person is paralyzed because of sin. So Jesus sees him paralyzed and doesn't say, get up, take up your mat and walk. And says, your sins are forgiven. And then they start murmuring, well, he doesn't have the power to do that. Or he's thinking, hey, he can't do that. So Jesus explains, he says, I want you to know that I have the power on earth to forgive sins. And then he explains further, he says, which is easier? To say, get up, take up your mat and walk, or to say your sins are forgiven? What's the point he's making? He says, I could have said either. You're all in here, you think it's linked. You think sin has caused that. I'm telling you here, when I heal this person, I'm not just healing their body. I'm not just making him whole in his body, but I'm forgiving his sin. In fact, he's kind of saying the two phrases are almost interchangeable. That healing and forgiveness are linked. Let me put it this way. Healing and forgiveness are part of the same atonement. When Jesus died on the cross, he didn't die just to forgive your sin. He died to heal your diseases. In fact, you know when we take our communion, we take the cup which represents the blood that was spilt for the forgiveness of sins, amen, to wash away guilt. We also take the bread. Not just bread, but broken bread. What does that bread represent? Well, Jesus said, this is my body, broken for you. Why not just the cup? If it was all about our sins forgiven, that's done in the blood, isn't it? But his body was broken, because it's his broken body that takes our disease, that takes our brokenness, that takes our cancers, that takes our infirmities, that takes our ailments. That's why it says in Psalm 53, it says, surely he has borne our griefs and our sorrows. In your translation, it might say our pains and our suffering. It says by his wounds we are healed, or by his stripes we are healed. You see, that whole passion moment of the cross, that you know, if it was just about forgiveness of sins, well, he could have just died and that was it. But he went through a whole agonizing process where his body was broken. And every little thing that happened to Christ, every little detail that's recorded in Scripture is significant, because every suffering he went through brought a victory for me and you and broke a curse off of our life. There was a reason he was beaten. There was a reason his beard was ripped out. There was a reason he was blindfolded. There was a reason he was whipped, yeah? There was a reason he carried the cross and his body broke down under the weight of it. All those things, his body being broken and our body being made well. Healing and forgiveness are part of the same atonement. The same faith that you have that all your sins are forgiven should be the same faith that you have that all your sicknesses and diseases are healed and dealt with on the cross. This is why we believe in miracles. This is why we believe in divine health, because Jesus was broken on our behalf. Psalm 103, verse 2 and 3 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases." Everybody here believes that he forgives all your sins, yeah? You believe that? Do we all believe that he heals all our diseases? Or do we just stop reading at that point? It's the same atonement. He could have said, "Get up, take up your mat, and walk." But he makes the point, which is easier to say. I could have said either. I've written here that the answer is because healing and forgiveness are linked. It's only the phrasing. I just feel like it's a strong link. It's a strong link. It's the same atonement. And he's making the point in front of everyone, I have the power to forgive sins, and I could have said either. It's the same thing. I want to encourage you here this morning. If there's an ailment, if there's a prognosis, a diagnosis, a long-term condition, a chronic condition, a newly diagnosed thing, whatever it is, a terminal thing, you believe your sins are forgiven in Christ, believe that your diseases are healed in Christ, in his completed work. That's the basis we have to believe. When you get up in the morning, you say, you know what, I thank you, Jesus, my sins are forgiven. I thank you, all my diseases are healed. You keep confessing it. You keep believing it. It's the same moment both were dealt with. Is this making sense to everybody this morning? Good. I'm glad. You know, I hate the thought that comes in our mind. There can be a barrier that comes in our mind, an argument that the devil puts there when we talk about healing, is that some people, we don't know if it's the will of God. Maybe God wants me to have this. Maybe this is my lot in life. Maybe God wants to use me through this. Well, God works all things together for good. It's true. And he can use all things, but not all things are of God. Yeah, not all things are good. He can work them together for good, but some things happen to you, some things you go through, some things you're afflicted with. That's not God, that's life, that's the devil. We're in a fallen world, and the devil does works too, yeah? That's why Jesus went around destroying the works of the evil one. That means he has works, and he has works that come across your life, and just from rubbing against people and things that have happened to you, God didn't ordain it. God didn't plan it. It's not God's will, and you need to reject it. Amen? And sickness and disease is one of those things. God is not going around making people sick. It's not his plan for your life. It's not his will for your life. It's not how he drew you up. He didn't form you in the womb and said, "Oh, I know what I'll do for this person. Ha. Huh. Yeah, this is a great plan. Hey, Gabriel, yep." No, he's not like that. The enemy has works too. And we need to believe in Christ that sickness is not the will of God. It's not his plan for your life. It's not what he wants for your life. And he's dealt with that on the cross. Sometimes we can think, again, when it comes back to sin and forgiveness being linked, we think, you know what? I have to live with this. Because I'm not perfect. I kind of deserve this in a way. Is this making sense? This illness, this disease, he wouldn't heal me because I don't have the faith. I don't pray enough. I don't follow him enough. I don't sell out enough. I don't do this enough. So I'll just carry this burden. I'll just live with it. I'll just have to bear it because I don't. That's the enemy's thinking. We've got to break that mindset. He dealt with it on the cross. Amen? He dealt with it on the cross. You're going to be healed. You're going to be set free because he has. Not because you've done. Amen? Amen. Where's the band? Oh, the worship team. Where are you? You're over there? Excellent. I like Leanne and Ramel as well. I just got to say that, Pastor Kane. Can I add that? Yeah, it's not prophetic or anything like that myself, but I really do like them. They're our first Mackay friends. They invited us out after church. We went to the beach and had fish and chips. And I found out Ramel goes for the Brisbane Broncos. And that's it when we knew we were home. This is our home church. We just knew from that moment. Really good people. Question three, as the worship team comes on up. It says, why did the witnesses say they had never seen anything like this? The first question was, what did the paralytic done to deserve forgiveness of sins? The answer is nothing. Second question was, why did Jesus pronounce his sins forgiven when it's not what he asked for? Well, Jesus was making a point, yeah, that I'm not just healing this person, but I'm forgiving sins as well. Third question is, why did the witnesses say they had never seen anything like this? When they'd already seen many miracles. I mean, these people had seen John the Baptist. They've read about Elijah and Elisha and all those sorts of things. The Bible says that they went away amazed and they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. But he's already healed blind eyes before. Yeah? The Bible says he went into certain towns and he healed all their sicknesses and all their diseases. Everybody who came forward was healed. And they would have seen that. There would have been all sorts of things. There would have been broken bones. There would have been leprosy. There would have been blindness, deafness. You know, this is the same Jesus that cast demons into pigs and the pigs go and drown themselves. I mean, that to me is something where I would go, whoa. I've never seen anything like that, you know, like that's crazy. But here he just heals a paralytic. It's easy for him. But this is the one where they go, we've never seen anything like this. And they were amazed. Why did they say that about this miracle? Well, I reckon they've seen lots of miracles, but they haven't really understood. They've just thought that Jesus was like John the Baptist. They just thought Jesus was another prophet, yeah? They just thought Jesus was another of God's divine ones who just worked miracles. Like, from time to time that happens, yeah? They just thought he was like a great minister, a chosen one of some description. And they just thought that he just goes around and heals people and has some good teaching like all the other rabbis. That's just what he does. It's just Jesus he's like Elijah reborn. He's like John the Baptist. He's like all the others we've seen. But this miracle, not really just this miracle, but Jesus' statement, I think, awakens something in their understanding. Jesus makes the statement, I forgive sins and I have the power on earth to forgive sins. When I heal this person, I just heal their body. I'm healing their eternity, yeah? They're going from darkness to light. And they see that he makes that statement and backs that statement up with a miracle. Can I just say this morning, God does miracles to affirm his word. God affirms his word with miracles. When a miracle happens here this morning, it's not to affirm me. It's not to affirm my lifestyle. It's not because I'm perfect and I'm good and I'm great. God affirms his word. The Apostle Paul used to go around and he used to do miracle, preach the gospel and go on and reason in the synagogues. And then he would say it was confirmed with signs and wonders. Yeah? That's what miracles do. They confirm that when the gospel is preached, when the good news is preached, it is confirmed with signs and wonders. And Jesus makes a bold statement about who he is, his authority, what he's come to do, and then it's confirmed with a miracle. Can't argue with that, can you? It's like anyone could claim they can forgive sins. Why would we believe them? Anyone can claim they have the power to do this and the power to be that. Why would they believe him? Well, Jesus says, well, watch this. Get up, take up your mat, and walk. Every argument they've got just falls away straight there, doesn't it? You can't argue with him now. You've just seen a paralytic man get up, take up his mat, and walk. You have to now believe not only is he healed, but his sins are forgiven. And that Jesus has the authority to forgive sins. Why were they amazed? Why do they walk away saying, we've never seen anything like this? They've seen miracles, but they've never seen someone claim to be able to forgive sins and perform a miracle. This miracle was different. They go, whoa. Wow. We've never seen anything like this. Your understanding of God, your understanding of who Christ is, can affect what you receive from him. Before this moment, I reckon nobody in that room was looking for forgiveness of sins from Christ, from Jesus. They weren't coming to him for that. They were coming to him for physical needs and things like that. And that's what they were getting. But I reckon from this moment, there's a lot of people now going to come to Jesus and go, you know what? I need something in here as well. I need something in here as well. Your understanding of him affects what you receive from him. Some of us, we're not receiving our needs being met or those miracles that we want because our understanding has been affected. Our mindsets have been affected. And we're putting what Jesus can do in a box. He can't do this for me because I can't receive this for him because I won't see breakthrough in that area because. Well, we need to change that. Yeah, we need to change that. You can receive that from him. He will bring a miracle in that area. He will bring breakthrough in that area. He will bring a turnaround that you're not expecting, that's bigger, that's greater. It's more than you can ask. It's more than you can think. It's more than you can imagine. You just need to see him again in a new light. That's why I study the scripture. That's why I spend time getting to know him. Because the more I know him, the more I can receive from him, yeah? I can't receive things from him that I just don't know. Making sense to everyone? Why don't you stand to your feet this morning? Maybe you've got something in your life today you want to receive. Maybe there's an area, maybe there's a sickness, maybe there's disease, maybe there's a long-term condition. This morning I want to help you make a confession of faith. I want you to place that condition on the cross with your words this morning. Place it there by faith. Say, God, whatever it is, I place this by faith on the cross and I exchange my brokenness, yeah, for your brokenness, yeah? I exchange this for your completed work. If you've got something this morning, run it now. Just take 30 seconds. You don't have to yell it out loud, but just confess it. Whatever it is, I place this on the cross. I place this on the cross. Holy Spirit, we pray for miracles this morning. We pray for miracles this morning. Hallelujah. God, we pray for the ears to be open, Lord Jesus. God, we pray for diagnoses to change. God, we pray for long-term conditions, eating conditions, intolerances, disorders. Lord Jesus, off our young ones, Lord God. Lord, there's been things pronounced over children. Lord, that they're going to have this condition and they're going to struggle with that. Lord God, we reject that. We thank you that your body was broken. Lord God, we pray for strong, healthy children. In Jesus' name, breakthrough now. Lord God, we will not confess that over their life, Lord. We will not allow those things to be over their life. But Lord, we thank you that your body was broken, Lord, so that these young people are made whole in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Lord. Let's just worship quickly together.
Because we need a fresh wind, a fragrance of heaven.
Amen. Amen. Mr. and Mrs. Dalton, welcome home. Great to see you. Aha. Folks, we've heard a word this morning. I've got this question for you. Which is the greatest miracle? Having your sins forgiven or receiving physical healing? Obviously, sins forgiven, because that's a healing of the spirit, healing of the soul, if you like, that connects us with God. We could live through this life with a physical problem, but the next life, that physical problem's gone. So I'm saying this morning, we need both. And I don't want to close this meeting today without giving you an opportunity to respond to that. If you need physical healing, prayer team will be praying for you. If you need spiritual healing, in other words, you need to come into connection with God, we'd love to pray with you as well. So as we just take a minute, our worship team will sing again. If you'd like to come for prayer, baptism of the Holy Spirit, we're going to pray with people this morning. Come now. And then we'll dismiss our meeting. You can go and have your morning tea. God bless you. Thank you, worship team. Jesus, you are mighty.